Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric, and this
is... Hi, Jeremy.
Oh, you're here for the intro. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We're very excited.
I'm trying to help the show.
Well, you're here, man, and that's all that really matters. We've got a great episode. Hey, guess what? We're in the holiday season, and we got a big old movie for this week. And, hey, listeners, if there's a Christmas movie that you'd like us to cover that is a cult classic, listen, we're not going to do Frosty the Snowman, but if you got, like, an off-color
one
that you'd like...
That only Lisa Busta knows.
Yeah, throw it out there. We'll do it. We'll cover it. If you're listening to us and you haven't already, it is the giving season. Hop on the iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a 5-star rating. We read them. We love them. It helps us out tremendously. Costs you absolutely nothing and means the world to us. So get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Santa's sleigh.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Listen, I'm kind of like, I feel like half my body's made out of milky bread today. You ever feel that, Jeremy? You ever feel like it just this real?
To my world. Welcome to Shitville, kid. Enjoy your future.
Every day that I don't work, I'm afraid of going back to work for the how fat and just horrible my body gets after even a couple days.
How fat and horrible does your body get?
Well, it's not only the atrophy or entropy of the muscles.
Yeah, yeah.
But just you know. Oh, man, as the body just starts to fall to shit from not working out every day.
But, I mean, do you feel like you're starting to turn a corner now with your...
No.
Just working? Like, your body's starting to maybe adapt a little bit,
no,
too.
No, I know that the first day back to work is going to be a living hell.
When... isn't this, like, a busy time of year, too, where, like, people buy a lot of food?
You know what? If it's a box... Yeah, of course it's a busy time of year. Yeah. But, hey... If it's like a box that weighs like 20 pounds, oh yeah, I'm doing one box at a time.
Yeah.
Compared to these kids, I'll see them carry like 2 or 3 boxes of yams at a time. That's pushing like 80 pounds.
It's a lot of yams.
It's like, and there's no incentive for me to work hard. There really is none.
Nothing, right?
No. $14 an hour.
$14 an hour. You get your 8 hours in. And
well, if
done.
That, I'm doing 6 usually.
Doing 6 so, hours.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you come home, you take off your fucking shirt, and you're like, damn, I'm looking good today.
No.
I look fucking...
No, no.
I'm ready to be a prize fighter.
No, I hate to say, I've just thrown it away, any sense of well-eating or drinking, because it's like, I know that I'm burning probably a good 10,000 calories every day, easily.
So that's good. Well, I mean, that should be good. You look a little bit... Well, put together, I feel like your limp is not as noticeable.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. The limp, the
you just hobbling around.
At the end of the shift, though, I'll be limping like I'm like a fucking old man, though.
Maybe we'll get you into some Bikram's yoga. I just watched the documentary on Bikram's yoga. He's a rapist and that taught yoga, and I think you could really get into it.
Is this kind of like Beekman's world? But instead, it's Bikram's yoga.
I don't know, it's Bikram's World Yoga. No, he's a really big monster. It was they did a Netflix documentary. It's wildly popular yoga that people got into, and like he just turns all he does is just do yoga, but in a really hot room, and then call you fat the whole time. He's like, sucking fat belly, yeah. And then he would rape people. So
and then he teaches you how to play drums.
He's like, so. I'm not a rapist. I'm going to do all these good things, and now I'm just a rapist. It's a good documentary. But hey, you know, it'd be really probably good for your knees, Jeremy. That's what we're getting at. Anyway, hey, welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric P. Woodworth, joined by my blood, my brother, one of my favorite people in the whole world, Jeremy. Hi.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, who was on the show this evening?
It's me, Saul Rubinstein.
Saul Rubinstein. Owner, is that the guy who owns the deli in this tonight's film?
Well, not only do I own the deli, I actually own Lieutenant Data.
Lieutenant Data.
I stole him. And he wears my special suit.
Oh, man. I feel like the guy...
I don't care if he even goes around naked, as long as he's in my collection.
I feel like that guy in this movie, he just, like, he gets every role that Paul Reiser passes on. Does that make sense? Like...
Well, we can't get Saul Rubinstein. Who are we going to get? Well, Paul Reiser, I think he's available.
Well, all right, we'll take him.
I'm mad about you, hon.
Mad about you, baby.
Look, it was a bad call, Ripley.
I think you also mean Saul Rubinek is his actual name.
Yeah, Saul Rubinstein.
Saul Rubinstein. Cohen. Cohenstein brothers. So tonight's movie, we're all in the Christmas spirit. We're going to go over Santa's sleigh in a bit here.
And by the way, when he comes to conventions, he charges just a little too much.
Just a little bit too much. What's his going rate?
I think he was asking for like 40.
What?
That's what I said.
$40? What do I look like? I'm made of money?
Well, I feel he's more of a $30 celebrity.
Jeremy, please, I need an extra $25 so I can go see Saul Rubin Cohen. Yes. Jeremy, I've already eaten all the trash today. I can't meet him. How's your buddy John Link doing, man?
I just heard the latest story.
By the way, listeners, John Link, Jeremy's convention friend. He starred in a couple of movies. Most popular, Lord of the G-Strings. And
just came out with the Candyman meets Killer Clown meets the Candyman.
Yeah, he plays Manson in it.
He plays Manson in it, where in one scene he just kind of growls. And then he pretty much ends the movie. I don't want to give anything away.
Whoa, spoilers. Jesus Christ.
He ends it, so.
So John Link.
John Link
horror icon and homeless gentleman.
Yes, very homeless. He had a stroke, and apparently his nails and his toenails on right side of, I believe, his body are pushing like 2 to 3 inches long now. And, which I was really trying to get pictures of at the last convention. Yeah. And I think he broke one of the nails in his shoe that he had to be hospitalized for, had to get taken care of. And probably still has license scabies. You can tell on one side because he can scratch the one side, mm-hmm. but he can't scratch the other side or feel where they are because his arm doesn't work.
Listen, he seems like a guy who's struggling with income like most of us are, you know, always looking for a new way to make a buck.
Absolutely not.
Oh, he doesn't struggle with income.
No, he doesn't.
Well, have you ever posed, I feel like he's missing an opportunity, put it like that. What if he, you know how like they have those massage parlors, like, you know, where like the small maybe Asian women.
Any whore will do anything for money.
No,
yes.
No. I'm not talking about a rub and tug. I'm talking about a classy spa.
Yes.
Well, what if
where you get some anal bleaching done? So.
Yeah, where you can get your asshole sunned the proper way, right? What if John Link started his own spa where he would like walk on your back with his big gangly toenails and like just. He's like, welcome to the scratching post. My name is John. Remove your shirt and I shall rub my sweet toenails across it.
And whatever disease is in my toenails will now be in your back.
Here.
Maybe you get scabies or lice.
Enjoy some of my shavings. I put them on top of my toenails and you snort them venerally.
So the latest story, which I got from Edward the other day, was that some gentleman helped drive Link to his homeless shelter, which I believe he's at a shelter now. Thank God. He's maybe warm enough to stay alive this year.
Okay, good.
Unbeknownst to the guy that takes him there, He can't even get up onto the sidewalk because his legs are that weak. But that's not the best part. The best part is getting into this homeless shelter. Well, there's a hell of a lot of steps. So, and the guy that's gonna help him out, he's like, dude, my back is not doing well. Mm-hmm. You're either gonna have to help yourself up, or I'm going to have to fireman you into it.
Okay.
Which apparently he picked Link up and put him over his shoulders and walked him into that thing while John Link is kicking and screaming like,
"Put me down! I don't like to be manhandled! Where is me gold?"
Oh, yes, he is a small man. I'm sure he isn't more than 5 foot, so.
I told you nobody me in the torture rack and lives!
So, yes, thank God the little man is in a warm place.
I feel like by Groundhog's Day, Bill Murray is going to try to save his life for like 4 or 5 of his...
of his lifetimes.
Of his weeks, right?
So.
Well, that's good. And Jeremy, I think with all of the... I don't think you've ever done this before. You've actually made a special song for John Link. Is that correct? Is this dedicated to him?
By the way, 100% true.
100% true.
Everything in this song is true. I don't know if you really call it a song as more of a free form. But.
Okay. Well, here's Jeremy's song dedicated to John Link.
Inside a building. I live off my government check. Inside a car with my brother. I hate to buy food. Because once it's eaten, it's gone.
100% true. 100% true.
And I got lice. Lice. I hate taking showers. Because they are so cold. Give me 5 hours so I can take a bath. Mom makes me eat eggs and American cheese. I got lice.
Jeremy, a year is a bit.
Have you ever seen Midnight Cowboy?
No, I've never watched Midnight Cowboy. I know it's with John Travolta, right?
Yeah. Yes, with
I'm
that
familiar
song,
with it.
So I Can Do My Love, I'm a Loving Man, and I'm a Midnight Cowboy.
It sounded very much Doors-esque, Jeremy. Was this inspired by Jim Morrison or Fat Val Kilmer?
I was actually inspired by a Miley Cyrus song called "Do Me in the Butthole."
I love "Do Me in the Butthole." That's one of her best, pieces of art she's ever done.
Do my chicken butthole. No.
Do my chicken butthole. My name's Miley. Woo!
I always consider her as Ashley O. But seriously, if you ever seen the movie Midnight Cowboy, Dustin Hoffman plays a homeless man that's kind of like John Link. Mm-hmm. But not as bad as John Link.
I feel like John Link, the whole movie street trash, he could be every character.
Pretty much, yes.
Mostly, John Link, I've never met him, but from what you've described, he's like the guy, the second bad guy. He's just like, don't give me a bath! No!
And the worst thing is that now that he's gotten his beard and doesn't take care of his hair as much, he really is starting to look like street trash.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll invite him to these shows like, oh, here's our actor friend who kind of looks like a street bum.
He's really
a celebrity.
Hello, so. I'm here to audition for Street Bum 3.
Would you like to put your arm around and get your picture taken? You might get lice.
Yeah, that's a good question. Did the guy who carried him up, has he checked himself? after submit getting him in there.
At first, we really care about the guy. We're like, we don't want to destroy his career because one of the actual directors is here, and she's probably a normal person as any female would. It'd be like, oh, he has lice. Good. He should never work again.
Yeah.
You know, because he won't take care of himself. He's pretty much done.
I mean, imagine that your acting is so good that you can just have lice, though. And you're like, well, listen, he's literal trash.
Look,
but
he's George Clooney. We gotta have him in the movie. He looks because he has lice.
Yeah. What if Brad Pitt had lice? Is his acting so good that he could just like overcome that?
Or pretty much Gary Oldman when he played the guy with the Rasta hair in True Romance. No, he probably had lice.
No, that makes sense. I like that. Yeah. Jeremy, I don't have a lot of stories to go over, but last night I did a show down in Zissimo's, down in Hamden Hon, over there in East Ballmer.
Do they talk funny there?
No, they don't. Actually, it's filled with hipsters. There's like four apothecaries. It's a very, very...
apothecary.
Yeah, that's like, I'm sorry, that's CVS.
That's a place where they sell weed.
That's like CVS, but they only sell rune stones to heal you and stuff. Like they only sell gems and oil, essential oils that will cure your cancer.
I thought you were saying a head shop. So.
It's kind of like a head shop, except way gayer. That's
different boxes to put your weed in.
But no, I did a show there last night, and two shows, and I did pretty well both of these shows, Jeremy. So the second show, I opened it up, did my 15 minutes, and you know, I'm sitting there watching the next comedian, and it's pretty packed, and I'm sitting like in like a row of two right here. So there's two seats, and I got a blank empty seat next to me. Well, these girls walk in and they're looking for a seat, and they're about to sit on the steps, and they're right in front of me. I'm like, oh, you know what, go ahead, sit down. I give up my seat, right, to sit down as a gentleman should do, right? Yeah. Well, I'm like, I'm walking back, and I guess this guy who had not seen the first show, he stayed for the second show, and then I did two different sets. He really liked it. He grabs me, he was like, hey, listen, dude, you're married, they're not gonna fuck you. And I was like, what? What did I do? I'm just trying to be nice. And then I saw him laughing, and I was just like, and then I kind of gave him a dap. I was like, respect. I respect the shit that you gave me over there. And then I was like, I thought it was over. I walk over, and then another comedian goes like, yeah, way to go. You gave up your seat, fucking loser. I was like, what? I've never been assaulted for being kind to people.
You are now the biggest misogynist in the world for actually giving your seat to a woman. So
I gave my seat to a woman, and I was chastised for doing it, and I don't appreciate it. Do you think Keanu Reeves gets this kind of fucking hate? I think it's this thing, like, you have to be, like, if you're a beautiful person, like Keanu Reeves, and you do an act of kindness, it's revered, like, oh, he was so beautiful, he didn't have to. But if you're an ugly, kind of fat piece of shit, like you and I, Jeremy, then you're a monster. Like, they clearly think he's probably a rapist. I wouldn't take his free seat.
I think I can sum this up with one song.
Yeah?
And that song is called Pablo Picasso Was Never Called an Asshole. So...
That is true. That's true. I don't know where that ties in, but was Pablo Picasso beautiful? He was ugly, right?
I'll tell you what, he was never called an asshole.
All right, I accept.
It's just a pun, okay?
It's just a pun. Okay, good. Thank you for the... Speaking of puns, we have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson.
Joe Robinson's
corrections.
Reminds
me, I need to make more Joe Robinson songs.
Yeah, no, he's been on his P's and Q's, though, about giving us corrections, even in this busy season. So,
while Lamar destroys the entire NFL.
His first correction is about you calling this segment Joe's Robinson's corrections. It's his first correction is you calling it that. So,
well, we've been a big fan of Joe Robinson's for a long time now. So he's a great friend.
So here it goes. He then goes, I probably have to see Quest for Fire. So he's never seen it.
Yeah, see, I told you.
No, he says
he's not that old.
I'm sorry. He said I probably have seen Quest for Fire, but I don't remember. I apologize.
No,
now
nobody
goes,
forgets Quest for Fire.
Nobody forgets
that's
a movie
like,
that
like
good.
That's like forgetting you've seen The Elephant Man.
And he goes, however, are you telling me that Jeremy thinks it's better than a movie where a white guy spends 90 minutes in blackface? Fucking wrong. So Soul Man, he's saying, is a better C. Thomas Howell film.
Oh,
or
the,
I'm
the
sorry, Ray Dong Chong.
What were the choices again? Quest for Fire or,
yeah,
or Soul Man?
Yeah, well, we were saying during the Commando episode, I asked you what's Ray Don Chon's best movie, and you said
Quest for Fire.
You said Quest for Fire. I think I said Soul Man. And then he goes, not a joke, you calling him Mikey Coachella. He was like, Jeremy definitely didn't mean it as a... He goes, Jeremy definitely didn't mean it as a bit at first, and then he caught on to it, but calling him Mikey Coachella, that was his last correction.
Only ruled the airwaves for 20-something years, so...
I don't think that is accurate. Everything that you said is a falsehood. It was like 6 or 7, maybe, years?
It was almost 10, maybe.
I don't think so.
It
I don't
seemed
know
like
when,
forever.
I don't know when Kirk, Mark, and Lopez ended, but I feel like the Mickey, Amelia, and Spiegel show wasn't a whole
decade.
I think
Kirk, Mark, and Lopez was like through the late 70s, and then... and Mickey was on from like 1981 to 2012 or something.
Okay, fair enough. Respect.
And the
that.
2 or 3 years that Jeff Scott and Spiegel have been on are great.
I love Jeff Spiegel.
Yes,
Jeff
is amazing.
Jeff Schlegel is probably my favorite comedian and radio personality, hands down.
Even the Jew is funny. So.
Oh, whoa.
We love Jews on this program, and we encourage all racism except against Jews.
Yeah, we're very... So. We are anti-Semite.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
We're pro-Semite?
They run the government.
We are pro-Semites, right?
Damn right.
Hey, don't...
You know, Shem was the best of all the kids on the Noah's Ark, so...
Okay, I don't read the Bible enough to understand your reference.
There was Shem, Mo...
And Curly, right?
Yes.
And Larry.
And
Hello, I'm Larry, Noah's son.
I think he tried to attack Noah when they were actually on the water. So I get it mixed up with the new Ridley Scott version of the Bible. So
what are you doing, dummy? I said 2x2. These are 2x2. He's like, that one's a zebra. This one's a horse, you dumbass. Oh, Mo, I'll just paint stripes on this one. It's not a big deal. And Curly painting stripes because he forgot the zebras. What are you going to do? Fold this for every generation? I guess I'll have to.
Why didn't they do that? Well, it was too big of a budget. So,
what's
anything more than $10 in those days, all they could afford was pies.
What's the matter, dummy? You only brought one monkey on here. He's like, well, guess what? Now you're going to have to be the other one. So they have to pose Shemp as the other monkey that has to fuck this other the female Shemp. He's like, she's literally ripped my dick off, Mo! I can't even move around.
Yeah, not many people know the true story is that Curly...
Oh, God!
...can't show his freakish visage anymore. So.
Shut up, dummy. Get over here. You're making us look bad in front of the rest of the arc.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's good. That is good. So, Jeremy, are we ready to get into tonight's topic?
Sure.
Oh, man. The 2005 classic, Jeremy... Santa's Sleigh. Oh,
this,
what a cult classic.
How did this go under the radar of not being seen? I think in the marketing it just looked bad.
Listen, there's a lot of when a movie comes out and it stars a professional wrestler, where the draw is the professional wrestler
right
off the bat.
Hence
it's already,
I never saw it.
You already didn't want to watch it, right?
But
this movie is a goddamn gem, and I had avoided it for a long time. This is honestly, it gives me everything I want in a film. It gives me comedy.
I might have seen the opening to it years ago, but I didn't know what film it was. But by far, the opening of the film is better than anything else in the film.
It's strong. It is a strong opening. It's star-studded. Like, the opening scene, it has Chris Kattan, right? Yes. It has Fran Drescher, who's playing a real slutty MILF.
And Chris Kattan, probably at his most manliest role ever.
Yeah, so. I've never seen him so strong, where he's playing... Listen, I...
Actually looking like he might have sex with a woman in this
scene. Yeah, I never saw him as a heterosexual until I saw him touching Fran Drescher's inner thigh during this scene.
What is, Yeah, when you play Mango as good as he does, you're more gay than Sacha Baron Cohen. So.
Yeah, hello, I'm Sacha Baron Cohen, and
you're automatically typecast as Freddie Mercury if a movie comes out. So,
but then on top of that, Jeremy, you get Academy Award winning actor James Caan as well as the dad in the opening scene. I mean, it's really star studded affair.
My other favorite James Caan movie, mm-hmm. The Dark Backward.
Backward?
Yes.
See in the dark.
As the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe I could cut it off.
The Dark Backward. That should be a Quality Time episode one day. It's a good cult classic. So the movie starts off. Oh, we forgot our biggest star of all. The wrestler Bill Goldberg. God.
Whoopi Goldberg's brother, Bill.
Bill Goldberg, for those of you who don't know, and Matt Cannon, listen, I realize this is just rehashing it for you because he is a huge wrestling fan. But in the 90s, even as recently as last year, he's wrestled with the WWE. Bill Goldberg, professional wrestling icon, one of the biggest stars of WCW, and the guy who beat Brock Lesnar twice or three times in the last couple of years for WWE. Great, very entertaining wrestler, super strong, has never done steroids. Yes, he stars as Santa in this film. So this movie, it really kicks into high gear as this pretty much piece of shit family's all eating at Christmas dinner. James Caan's talking about how he wishes the turkey was dry. He was just like, well, if you worked at it a little bit, Fran Drescher's like, maybe if you worked at it, he's like, I want to eat it. I don't want to fuck it. Like, and so there's already great dialogue that happens. And then all of a sudden, Santa comes down the chimney, this muscle-bound freak of nature, and as they sit here and listen...
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
He just punts the dog. He punts the dog into a fan in the first minute of the film. And I can't... Jerry, I fucking scream, cry, laugh the second this happens. I go, ha-ha! Yes!
Can I say this is probably my second favorite animal torture or animal kicking in a scene compared to the movie where... Crispin Glover plays a redneck out in the woods and literally stomps a dog under his foot.
Yeah, so. That one's pretty brutal to watch. But that one's actually hard to watch because it looks like a real good dog smash. This one is so comical. Like, he just punts this dog like... I laughed so fucking hard. He then goes to murder the rest of the family. I think he burns Fran Drescher in a fire or like a deep fryer or something like that. One of the girls gets the star.
No, he puts her out in the fruit bowl. So.
Yeah, in the fruit bowl, right? And then takes two knives and then stabs them through James Caan's hands and then basically chokes him to death with a turkey leg, which is pretty good. I forget how Chris Kattan dies, but he also dies in this scene.
Well, I know he gets kicked into like a curio cabinet or something. So.
Yeah, completely eviscerates this family in the opening scene.
I hate to say another favorite of my scene is James Caan trying to get the knives out of his hand with his mouth.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. So Santa is an absolute killing maniac and. Next, we're taking a bit further into the future.
I didn't see the scene correctly, but I think the only thing that could have made the scene better is maybe an arm ripped off and beating somebody with their own arm.
Yeah, it could have used some more. Listen, the level of gore, it's not super high in this, like as far as just like Like the blood
and
guts.
They could have gone full Toxic Avenger. So.
It could have. It's almost Troma-esque, but it's actually filmed like as if this was at one time considered. We'll make this a PG-13 film. But then there's titties later in it. It makes no sense. I loved it though from beginning to end. They roll the opening credits and we see this sweet old lady at the local deli trying to get a roast beef sandwich. She's a real Scrooge McDuck, giving the owner and the workers a hard time.
She even
haggles down Saul a quarter so that she can get it. And then as she's ready to leave, we hear this.
There you go. And have a very happy holiday there, Mrs. Talbot.
Don't use that political language shit with me. It's Christmas. Wish me Merry Christmas.
I'm sorry. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Talbot.
Thank you. And go fuck yourself.
So,
I hate to say, I know it's not the same woman because it's the voice and it's like 30 years later or something. Mm-hmm. But she did kind of remind me of the parents from Weird Science where it's like, they love their grandparents. She got the same ugly face as that woman. So,
how do you think? How would Miss Toomey, sweet Miss Toomey, how do you think she would have fared if we replaced Miss Toomey in this scene?
What? Can you go get me two cottons of cigarettes? I haven't smoked in minutes. Oh gosh, I just coughed up another cup of blood.
I miss sweet Miss Toomey. She's one of my favorite.
Very badly.
Miss Toomey. Check out our archives if you want to hear some great stories about Miss Toomey from back in the day.
She almost spewed up blood like a fountain, like the creature in that corn video.
Oh,
they
God,
go to the,
she gotta cork my blood again.
When they go to prom together with, what's his name from Breaking Bad, so.
Beautiful. So, we'll call this lady. Miss Toomey then leaves, and she's driving too slow as Santa pulls up behind her in his sleigh that's being, I guess it's supposed to be a mutant reindeer, but it really just looks like a giant white war buffalo, which I love the fucking, it's just a single drawn sleigh.
I think it's the same creature that the Jawas want an egg from.
From the Mandalorian. Yeah, it is a massive monster of a creature that is Santa's mushing along. And as he pulls up on her, of course, she's driving like an old woman and very slow. He does this.
Oh, that's weird. Get out of the way.
When did the Ludacris song come out?
I think very, very recently.
Probably the
here.
Same year.
So he rams her off the road, causing a giant accident, and then laughs maniacally. I love the Bill Goldberg. So it kills poor Miss Toomey early in this film.
Did you read the trivia?
No, I didn't read any of the trivia for this
Apparently,
one.
There's another podcast that pointed out that most of the actors in this film are Jewish. They even said that Bill Goldberg was enough of a Jewish person that he wouldn't wrestle on certain Shabbos. So.
Yeah. Bill Goldberg. Also, listen, he's a former NFL player and college football player that then turned to the WCW to make a living. Similar to the Rock Johnson, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I hate to say, I was watching this and I almost thought that it was the Rock in certain scenes.
But yeah, Bill Goldberg is one of the most famous like Jewish athletes of all time. Yeah. Him and Santi Koufax, you know, they're like the Mount Rushmore of Jewish athletes.
Wait a second, is Peyton Manning Jewish?
No, not at all. I don't know why you.
Because it's funny just to think if he was. So.
Little known fact, though, Michael Vick, super Jewish. He's actually he's an Ethiopian Jew.
Well, that's possible. And, you know, Ethiopian Jews love dogfighting. So,
they love it. It's actually it's their path. It's heritage, not hate. Mr. Green, the owner of the deli, gives out some gifts to his two employees. A snow globe with a global clock with all the time zones on the world, including Reykjavik. Man, what a great spot.
Oh, you know, a little history of the Barlow family, our cousin Barlow.
Okay, now here we go. Let's get off topic. I'm ready.
There was a year when Jared got a gift from his father, and the name of the book was actually called Being a Jew. Except it was by a black guy. So.
That's a good gift. I would love that, by the way.
Yes, so.
Maybe we can get that for Sean L. That would be good. That'd be good. So the workers are also our heroes, I guess you'd say, of the film. Where I'm trying to, I can't even find. Well, anyway, the kid in this movie is. I only remember him from one other thing. Jeremy, do you know what he's from?
No.
Did you ever watch Big Love with Bill Paxton? He's like
In that?
He's Bill Paxton's son in Big Love.
Oh, I've only seen like probably 5 episodes all in all.
Mm.
And me being a Paxton fan, I can't believe I haven't seen the whole damn thing.
You fucking loser. God damn.
It's not like I haven't seen Brown Bunny with Chloe Sevigny like 1,000 times.
Piece of shit.
It's all because of the acting.
Son of a bitch. Douglas Smith, who's playing young Nicholas and Mary, his co-worker, who they're clearly into each other but not into each other. There's a teen angst angle that's worked into this. So
kind of like moonlighting, yeah.
He has his special clock. It'll come in handy later. He lets himself in. Gets dropped off at the house by young Mary, and he has an intricate locking system to let him inside his house. There's like 4 keys that are hidden, and there's like a fucking timer. There's all types of shit so he can get in there. He also disarms the alarm as he walks in, and the house is then locked up tight behind him. He calls for Grandpa, who doesn't answer. Then the lights go out, and... when all of a sudden the power goes out. Oh, did you hear that good sound effect I ripped there?
Yeah.
Man, that was high-tech. Listen.
Whoa.
Oh, man. So he goes and does the whitest thing ever right after this, Jeremy, which is check the basement immediately. And the tension builds, and it builds, and it builds, and...
believe it or not, I'm walking on it.
That's the second box of bulbs I dropped tonight.
What in the hell are you doing? Why didn't you answer me?
Don't be throwing the word hell around all willy-nilly like that.
I live in hell, for Christ's sakes.
True. That's why you dare not use the Lord's name so indiscriminately.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned they live in Helltown, which is very clever. Very clever. They live in hell, which is, I guess, the town where Santa's sleigh is taking place.
Which is the totally opposite of Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yeah, our second trip to hell that we've done here, Jeremy.
Well, the guy's name was Hell, but he went to Frogtown.
Hell goes so. to Frogtown. Yeah. You're right. True that. I forgot his name was John Hell.
Versus Frog Comes to Helltown. So.
The sequel that was never really fleshed out. Now, Grandpa explains that he has a bunker in the building downstairs he's been working on. They go to check out his bunker. It's pretty cool, I guess. It's cool to... he was an original prepper before it really got big. He checks out some of Grandpa's inventions. One is a nutcracker that's also a small caliber gun. So, you know, you gotta be prepared for everything.
Fires chestnuts.
Next, some thugs try to rob poor Santa, and boy, does he make short work of them. He stabs one in the neck with a candy cane that he's eating, and then Gorilla presses him into a dumpster. So, pretty nice bit of violence that breaks up everything there. Then, back with Nicholas, he asks Grandpa the truth about Christmas.
Grandpa, I want the truth about Christmas. And no, I'm not asking you to tell me that Santa Claus isn't real. I'm a little too old for that discussion.
I'd just be a little careful what I ask Santa for this year.
What? Are we Jewish or something?
Okay. Come on. Follow.
So he takes them over and first of all explains that, yes, they are Jewish. And then... he whips out this book that he immediately says, "Hey, is that the Necronomicon?" Good callback to the Evil Dead series. Obviously, that's if you looked at our Evil Dead 2 episode, you'd know what the Necronomicon is. Or Drag Me to Hell, we mention it as well. It is the scary book that Ash is always fighting for in that series. And then he whips out the Book of Claws.
In the history of man, there have been only 2 immaculate conceptions. The first being God and the Virgin Mary and the birth of their son, Jesus. The second was Satan with the Virgin Erica and the birth of their son, Santa. On the anniversary of his birth, there were always a great number of unexplained deaths and murders. This day became known as the Dog of Mord, or the Day of Slayings. Eventually, Christianity spread, and when the Dog of Mord arrived, the townspeople would have a Mass of Christ, or a Christ Mass, where they would pray to their Lord for protection. In the beginning of the 11th century, one of God's angels took the form of a man.
Uh-oh. But they get interrupted.
Carolers. I don't want them singing around here.
I don't want those damn carolers around. So they go to check on it, and it's actually Sweet Mary there, and she brings in some cooked Wolverine, which is had just been hunted that morning. Jeremy, have you ever had Wolverine before?
You mean Hugh Grant?
yes, Hugh Jackman, you mean?
Hugh Grant, yeah,
here's
Hugh
my
Jackman.
Freshly cooked Hugh Grant.
I prefer Ben Vereen.
Ben so, Vereen, yes. Erotic letters from Ben Vereen.
I'm all about those lights of Broadway.
She brings Nikki a gift as well, and it's a gun, which I thought was pretty funny. But no, it's not. He had mentioned earlier that he never got any toys, and it's actually a Transformer gun, and clearly off-brand, looks nothing like Megatron, who is the real gun Transformer. Right, Jer?
Anyway. Yeah, he's a gun.
So
he's got a scope. So.
I like it in the 80s when you could just like, hey, what is this? He's like, oh, it's a robot. What is it transformer? It's a handgun for children, which is such
it
a
fires
great,
itself.
It fires itself. All the thing the liberal media wants you to believe is that they're transformers themselves.
What are the evil Decepticons? Oh, they're guns and cars.
Yeah,
and planes because they use up fossil fuels.
Yeah, so and listen, anytime some conservative douchebag comes up to you and says, "Hey, guns don't kill people," have you ever seen Transformers, pal? And then smarkily walk off because you've won that one. That one's it. You've already won your argument at that point. So next we see Santa is flying over a church, and there is a fiery sermon that's being delivered.
Who don't believe in the spirit of Christmas giving. No, they don't.
You recognize the star here.
There are even some people who think that charity is for the lazy. Oh, my friends, charity is not for the lazy. Charity is for the needy. Dig deep into your hearts and deep into your pockets. Give them your money and don't give them coins. I see a lot of coins in that plate. Give them bills. Give the needy bills. Show them that you have the true spirit of Christmas in your hearts. And that you're ready to show it. Let us pray.
And then right after that, it shows him driving his Mercedes SUV up to the strip club. So, Jeremy, who's the actor who's playing this preacher?
Obviously, one of the McKenzie brothers known as Dave Thomas. So.
Dave Thomas, one of the McKenzie
brothers.
Also the
founder of Wendy's. So.
I don't think that's accurate.
It's pretty much the same guy. Yeah.
No, what is this guy really from? I thought you like
SCTV.
Oh no, it's Dave Thomas. Dave You're Thomas. Right. You're right. Dave Thomas, famous from.
He's also one of the moose, I think, in one of these Disney animation films.
Oh, he was in Rat Race and Strange Brew, and he was in Coneheads. Basically, anything that Second City ever did. He was he's like a side character from, so good times.
Oh, well, that's right. He was the guy that got away with all the money in Rat Race also.
Yeah, there you go. So he heads into the titty bar with all the earnings he's got that night. Bouncer lets him right in. Then Santa rolls up in his sleigh. And I really like that we get to see this giant buffalo up close because it's really detailed. It's a really nice fucking prop for this. He hands the valet his keys, and the guy struggles to wrangle this beast so he can go park the sleigh. Then the bouncer starts giving old Bill Goldberg Santa some shit, and he strangles him to death with a wreath right at the spot, and then bursts his way in. And it's absolute carnage within the strip club. He walks in, makes out with a stripper underneath the mistletoe, then starts killing bouncers left and right, strangles a guy with lights, pins another two with a table and like fucking spikes them with it. Then he takes down a stripper pole and starts using it like he's Neo in the Matrix, just beating the shit out of everyone. He gets a... One guy gets like a pickaxe to the head, and the last he just throws the stripper pole to and then boots it into a light that electrocutes that guy, similar to an electrocution in another famous Christmas film, Home Alone. He actually becomes a skeleton for a second. And I only like when you get electrocuted, that's the hardest thing. Like I need you to actually become a physical skeleton for a second. Like that. That's an important part of an electrocution.
Like not just like a regular lamp touching like your plate on your metal head or something.
Yeah, you know? So. I don't like that. So then you think he's done, but no, he's not. He then produces a piece of coal that he lights in his own hand and then throws it in the middle of the strip club and then burns it to the ground and kills all the strippers within there as well. So
the other highlight, I think, is one of the stripper that's on like a swing that he actually, you know, swings on in her crotch.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Listen, there's a high level of carnage within here. But luckily, the preacher escapes unscathed. That's the important part to remember this. And when he walks out, the giant buffalo that, like, pulls his sleigh, it's eating the valet. And it's just, like, finishing off, like, good valet right there. So, meanwhile, Nicholas is back home blowing it with Mary. He leaves and she leaves and says, "You have my number when you're ready for a relationship." And Nick does the most fucking loser thing. He goes to read an ancient text some more to find out more about the legend of Santa Claus. And this part is really great because it's kind of a long clip here. It's about 2 minutes long. But this whole thing is animated like those classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And all it's all claymation, and it's fucking beautiful.
Hearing their call, God sent down one of his angel generals from the heavens. The angel took the form of an old man.
It looked exactly like Robert Culp.
He encountered the young, ill-tempered Santa not far from his home. Santa was ice fishing with the ornery little people, the elves, on a frozen lake.
I don't like that sound. This sound in retrospect.
Hold on.
Knowing the son of Satan was a gambling sword, the angel challenged.
And when you come to, it sounds like bowling balls going.
To a contest. The contest was a simple one. Who could slide a rock across the lake and land it closest to the ice fishing hole without the rock falling in? If Santa won the contest, he would deliver the confident old man to his father for an eternity of pain and suffering. If the old man won the contest, Santa would not only have to cease the Day of Slains for the next 1,000 years, but would also have to turn the Dag of Mord, Day of Slains, into a Dag of Gleed, Day of Joy. Santa thought this was as close to a sure wager as could be. There was no way a mere mortal was going to be able to defeat him in anything. Santa was so sure of himself that he went first.
So basically, he challenges him to a game of curling where you got to get it into a hole. This is the whitest of white things to challenge somebody. I bet you I could throw this rock closer to that hole without putting it in than you. And basically, what he does is he curls the first one and it lands right on the edge. And then, sure enough, the old man who challenges him just uses his stone to knock his in. And he wins the day. Santa, for the next 1,000 years, is now Santa. Christmas is a day of glee for everyone, except that he reads at the very end of all this.
Shit, that was exactly 1,000 years ago.
Whoa! The 1,000 years is up, Jeremy. The 1,000 years is up. So Nick then goes to check the internet, and he goes to check Santa's sleigh tracker, and he asks tech support. He's like, "Hey, is this really Santa's sleigh? And like, are you really tracking this?" And he was just like, "How old are you?" "I'm 16. He's like, "Don't you know Santa's a really fucking idiot?" Which I like that the internet shits on him, which is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Now it's a little bit of time elapses and Christmas Day is here and Santa goes to just mow down a nativity scene for no reason at all. Just runs through it. The two kids wake up at Christmas Day, some children we've never seen before, to open their morning gifts.
can't wait to see the shit we got.
Can we open our motherfucking presents now?
Of course.
Go ahead, kids. Yes. Let's see what Santa got you.
I'm John Link.
And it's a bomb that blows their faces off, which is pretty good.
Fuck.
And a grandma that says, fuck, my kids are dead. Oh, jeez. Next, we see the sweet preacher.
Maybe we shouldn't have accepted that package from Mark Hoffman. Darn it.
Next, we see our preacher, Dave Thomas, giving a tearful remembrance of all the strippers they lost in that fire last night. He's very, very sad about
it. Did you have some of the names of the strippers?
Serenity and Barky. And this one, she was named Clark. She was my favorite. Clark the stripper.
My favorite was Dick's Erect.
Oh, yeah, yes. Dick's Erect. Yeah. I do remember there were some good puns in there. That was an appropriate use of puns, Jeremy. Puns. So Santa then breaks into the deli where Mr. Green is. Mr. Green tries to hold up a Star of David like it's a crucifix. Like, this will stop Santa. But he's unfazed and then impales him to a wall with a menorah, which is... You know, for a man who is the savior, one of the most popular Jews, I mean, this had to be a big, big pop for him this Christmas, was killing a Jewish man by pinning him to a wall with a menorah.
Paul Reiser would have never fallen for this gag. So.
Yeah, Paul Reiser, he's like, actually, I can't, Ripley, I can't do it. I can't snap another Jew with a menorah. You know that, honey. So next we see Nick heading to a gas station where this gas station attendant is none other than Debo from fucking Friday.
You know, for such a small town, I've never seen you before.
Just move here, homeboy. Too much damn violence in the hood.
Too much damn violence in the hood. So he hears the police scanner behind that Debo just listens to all day, other than rap music and just the police scanner constantly. He goes and then hears that there is a problem at the deli. So he heads over there right away and finds sweet Mr. Green pinned to the wall and. Well, he tries to, like, remove the menorah from his neck, but he his eyes open and they flash for just a second.
Nicholas. Mm-hmm. There is Santa Claus.
I thought you people didn't even believe in him.
I like that he's like, he's dying. He's like, Santa Claus is real. I thought you didn't believe in Santa. Oh, man. Good gag. Good gag right there. So the police then drag him in. Oh, it's important to mention when Santa leaves here, he runs into a bunch of Hasidic Jews on the street there. And he's like, and like sneers at him. And when the police come to arrest young Nicholas, who's in the thing, he then goes, he's like, all right, take the kid and these Amish guys down to the fucking thing, which is pretty funny. You know, I really did enjoy that.
It's like my favorite episode of Fargo.
Yes, all the Jewish guys,
yeah,
right here.
All the Amish
Jews. So back at the police station, the captain goes to question young Nicky. Tells him that they just need to make it. Nick tells him that they just need to make it to midnight at the North Pole. That's how long they have to survive Santa, which is based on nothing that he knows. That's a completely baseless statement.
Very, very logical.
So, all the killings look like, meanwhile, they have, like, the police have mapped out all the killings, and it's in the shape of a Christmas tree, which is a nice little gag, visual gag, solid. Nick is released, and Mary picks him up to take him to Grandpa's. But right behind him, Santa goes and heads into the police station like he's the fucking Terminator and murders all the police. Just murders all the police immediately.
And uses those little pushpins.
Yes, uses the little pushpins, uses everything. So meanwhile, Nick says to Mary that I think this will all be over in about 4 hours. And then all of a sudden, they see the lights behind him. The cops are pulling him over. but it's actually Santa. Oh, God. They floor it. He hops on the back of the pickup truck. She's able to explain to this fucking cuck named Nick how to load a shotgun. And after she explains him how to load a shotgun like a child, they're able to blast Santa off the back of the truck and get to Grandpa's house. Now, in Grandpa's house, he's very concerned if Santa has followed them.
If Santa followed you here, we're all in great danger. I built this as a shelter, not a fortress.
Literally, he has a fortress room in there. I built it not to withstand robbers, not a Santa. So, they head down to the safe room where they can see all the video cameras on the outside, and some carolers come up to the door to sing carols, so Mary goes to warn them.
Run away! Santa's on the loose!
And all
excuse me.
Immediately starts maiming all the carolers, which is pretty good. I really like how Santa shows up at just the best time. Hello, it's time for murder. Santa breaks his way into the safe room shortly after that by breaking down the steel door. They start escaping through a secret door that lets them back into the garage where there's some snowmobiles to escape.
Woohoo! Ski-doo!
In the basement, though, Santa sees them leaving on the closed circuit TV cameras that are set up, and then Grandpa and Santa come face to face once again.
You've really let yourself go, haven't you? What are you packing around there? An extra 2 bills, I bet.
Mrs. Claus, she's one hell of a cook.
Not much of a hairdresser, though. Oh, I've waited a long time for this day.
Not half as long as I have. Unfortunately, your time is about to expire.
So you're done spreading joy and warming the hearts of children everywhere.
I hate children. For centuries, I've received millions of their letters. And now, I'm free to hunt down every last one of those brats.
Such a long time and nothing learned.
Enough! There's only one thing that can make this daggaff more complete.
Nikki, go!
I won't leave you. Get on. Grandpa!
And the giant buffalo runs over fucking Grandpa.
Right away, buffalo.
Grandpa got run over by a reindeer.
Get on!
So they're able to escape. Nick is then chased by Santa, who's flying above him, chucking down explosive presents like he's the goddamn Green Goblin. They make their way to the old Hell Township, which is like the historic part of hell, you know, where it's nice old-timey shops. Santa, on his way, picks up the preacher and gets him in the sleigh, telling him that...
What in God's name are you doing?
Why, I'm just trying to spread a little Yuletide fear.
Yuletide fear, Jeremy. How's that shake you?
It's kind of like a pun.
It's a there you go. Another pun. Jeremy, this is two proper uses of the word pun, and I really like it. You're growing since last week.
I might actually know what I'm talking about.
So while this is all happening, Mary and Nick go to break into a school. Nick checks his backpack and finds the Nutcracker gun in there with a tag from Grandpa that says, "The only gift is a practical one." Ugh, great stuff. So Nick then devises a plan to defeat Santa.
He's just going to keep killing. We have to try and stop him.
I don't think he's unstoppable. You saw what happened on the truck when I shot him. Look, we have two choices. Defense.
Yeah, I like it. Here's like his only vulnerability, bullets.
Or offense. We can be defensive and try and distract him until his midnight when he's powerless, or we can go on the offense and lead him back towards those ski shooters and finally put an end to Christmas. Let's take a swing.
ho, 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 and a swing they take. I like that he says go, they go on the offensive. All Santa does for like the next 10 minutes is pursue them through this abandoned school. They finally try to hide in the library, and Santa beams Nicholas with the Dickens classic A Christmas Carol, hits him in the head with it. They run then to an ice rink because this elementary school apparently also has a full running ice rink inside. Santa comes.
Every school in Canada, pretty much.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Santa comes in with a Zamboni to come run them down, but is stopped by a curling stone that comes right in front of him just at the right
magic
time.
Curling stone.
Yep. It's Ghost Angel Grandpa. He's back to save the day as an angel ghost that just appears out of nowhere. He challenges old Santa to one last curling match. Santa obliges and opens up a gate of hell in the middle of this fucking ice rink. Grandpa throws his stone first. It's an amazing throw. It's right on the edge. But, you know, and we know how it ended last time. The guy who throws second just knocks him in and it's over. But instead of that, Santa just picks up Grandpa and throws him into the gates of hell. And I fucking, God, I loved it so much.
Oh, but before he threw him in, what did he kiss? His little hell symbol metal thing that was in his hand.
Kisses his little hell metal. Yeah. So then all of a sudden we hear this.
Not to worry. You'll be joining him soon enough.
The clock just struck midnight at the pole. Christmas is officially over for you, Santa.
With my special Sports Illustrated clock.
You know, most people make the same mistake. The correct time at the pole is completely discretionary. Because the poles are where all the time zones actually converge.
He's scary yet educational.
So, what I'm saying, nitwits, is that Christmas is over when I...
Oh, gosh!
Oh, no.
So while Santa's blabbering on, Nick grabs the chestnut gun cracker and then shoots Santa as he's throwing a lump of coal like a fireball, shoots through that and then hits Santa hanging and basically fucking maims him to the ground. Then they go to pick up Grandpa, who's actually hanging on the edge of the gates of hell. They lift him back to safety so he doesn't get swallowed up into eternal gloom. They go to pursue Santa, who's now trying to escape, but Grandpa can't follow. He explains that it's time for himself to pass on and then just whoop and fucking disappears. They run to the skeet shooters that they had passed earlier, and they tell him, hey, you ready to catch a flying deer? And he's just like, they have a guy who is like, yes, no problem. I've always wanted to kill something that flies. So there's a random guy with a fucking voice box modulator. They see Santa coming across. They all unload of him. Like 30 people just start bucking shots at Santa. And then all of a sudden, a fucking giant missile hits Santa, and he explodes.
Daddy?
Hi, sweethearts!
Daddy, where did you get that bazooka?
Vinny gave it to me for Christmas. He'd been saving up his llama loot. Isn't it great?
So he just says, her dad that they talk about being the gun nut has a bazooka, just randomly ready to go to the firing range tonight and blows Santa out of the sky.
So very close to our own family story.
This is very close. I like a lot of things about this story. You know, it's pretty magical.
As long as the good person in the movie always has guns.
Yeah. The only person that can save Christmas is a good Santa with a gun. Everybody knows that. So it ends with a beautiful kiss between Nick and Mary, but then, of course, there is another scene. Santa is still alive, and he's flying commercially to the North Pole!
Why didn't you say anything?
Christmas is over. Santa's gone.
What? Oh, here you go. Oh, no, he's just flying commercially. I thought I ripped audio for that, but they also say Nick sets it up. Hey, I thought I had the audio different here, baby, and I'm completely wrong. But Nick also mentions that his saga is just beginning. So they set it up for future sequels to the franchise.
Santa Slays 2.
And then, now, if you're a good... if you're a if you're a good moviegoer, you never leave until the very, very end, Jeremy.
The bookend.
And there is a bookend to this one. They do show like a brief thing of Thanos collecting one of the Infinity Stones from Santa. No. They show this at the very end. Santa.
Who's next?
Oh, saying who's next, which was Bill Goldberg's catchphrase when he was in WCW.
No idea what that means.
So. That's it. Jeremy doesn't know, but you listen, our listener Matt Cannon really going to appreciate
wait,
the...
Wait, Bill Goldberg, he's the guy that goes, oh, yeah!
No, that's the Macho Man Randy Pavlov. Pavlov, whatever. Anyway, no, that's the Macho Man. And that brings us to an end of Santa's Sleigh. Oh, what a magical film, Jeremy.
Try like a good Ramones version of Christmas song.
I like this. They couldn't get the Ramones. And they're like, oh, I'll just do this.
They're pretty much all dead by now. I think two of the Ramones were still alive when this movie came out.
Yeah, I think so. And I gotta pee. Santa. He tried to rape me.
I'm very sad that Robert Culp died in 2010. Otherwise known as the other guy from Greatest American Hero.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm.
Who knew?
Did you ever see Greatest American Hero?
Can't say that I ever have, Jeremy.
That was William Catt and Robert Culp.
Oh, interesting.
Who the female was on the show.
Nobody can ever know everything, Jeremy, you know?
I try.
Anyway,
by the way, I sit at lunch break with Sean L. almost every day, and all he does is like, you remember this actor? I'm like, yeah, I know their name. I met them. Like, almost every single one.
You probably hurt Sean's feelings a lot, because he likes to bring up nostalgia that people have forgotten, and you're like, no, I live this every day.
It's like, no, he was just at the convention last month, you know?
Yeah, dummy. Anyway, that brings us to an end of this episode. Merry Christmas to everybody. We got some good episodes coming up in the future. Check us out all December. And thank you just for tuning in general. I got a bunch of murder mysteries coming up this month. You can check those out at ericcomedy.com. I got them posted all up there. Doing a New Year's Eve show at Magoobies, Jeremy. It's a big, it's $70, but it's all you can drink. It's all you can drink while you're there.
Ooh, hello.
So it's going to be really fun. Come and check that shit out. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Come out to a show this December. Give yourself a gift. Jeremy, take us out.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Obey the giants, or I'll eat you.